Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to be with you, to continue to be with you. It's like a dream come true for me, and I know that's what you're thinking, isn't it? It's like a dream come true for me to be with you, right? It's, you know, folks, I hope and I pray that you have something to do professionally that you can love as much as I love doing this, and I want to thank you from my bottom of my heart for allowing me to do it, for being part of my community, part of my world. And I just want you to know how much I admire what you do, small business owners. I don't even want to begin to think about what the world would look like without you. And I want you to think about that every day. I want you to know that the world would not be a pretty place if you weren't doing what you're doing. And if you ever get the attitude that, you know, am I doing anything that matters? Am I making anything different? Is anything that I'm doing worthwhile? You just remember what I just said. The world would not be a good place without you and all the things that you do and all the things that small business owners do in the aggregate. The world's a better place because you're there. So don't stop. Keep going. Keep fighting. Let me tell you about somebody who knows all about that is our good friend John Fox. He's with us. John's back. He's the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. He's a professional tax attorney, and but semi-retired, I think, and also a professor at Mount Holyoke College in the great city of Massachusetts, just over the notch from Amherst. And he's also the author of 10 Tax Questions That Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. More importantly, he's our good friend, John O. Fox. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. I'm delighted, and just to add a word that, you know, I represented a lot of small businesses when I was practicing in Washington mm-hmm. for years, and there's no tougher life. I mean, there may be tougher lives, but I think if you're not an owner of a small business, you don't have a clue how hard those owners work.
Yep.
So I praise them, and those that can make it, and those that try and don't, I praise them all.
But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I keep when I think of small business owners, John, I think about that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, where the angel Clarence came down and showed Jimmy Stewart, about what Bedford Falls would look like without him.
Yeah.
And it was
right.
It was Pottersville or something like that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we don't want to have that. We don't want to see that, folks. That's not going to be pretty. And so that's one of the things, John, and they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing. That's one of the reasons why I'm constantly fighting for small business tax policy, for tax policies that make sense for small business owners that don't take our precious capital out of our businesses. I really do believe, John, you and I probably disagree on this, I really do truly believe that supply-side economics works, and that when you leave small business owners with more of their tax dollars, that they create more opportunity for everybody.
Well, it's a very complicated subject, and can I just tell you an op-ed that I'm writing right now?
I want you to do that. I know about it.
That overlays on this, because it's extremely difficult in these times, and it's difficult in any other time to talk about, you know, what should any particular group pay, small business or middle-class people or high-income people, you know, what should they pay? But there is a dollar that has to be paid, a bill that has to be paid by the federal government every year, mm-hmm. and we're not paying it. So what I've been thinking about, and now I'm writing an op-ed on, is the argument that both presidential candidates are making and virtually all politicians are making, that the middle class is overtaxed. You know, and it's very easy to feel.
And that's where most small business owners are.
Yes, a great many of them. Now, there are special things for small businesses which you can do to protect capital and to give them write-offs and give them mm-hmm. incentives. But But I'm talking about, in general, just the individual income tax and how it bears on middle-class people. Now, we have to define middle class, but it is standard for every politician to say that the middle class are overtaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may believe that they are, and your listeners may believe, but you have to then ask, I think, a question, which is what I'm asking. How much do they actually pay? So I've taken a look at figures on this produced by a terrific organization in Washington, highly regarded, called the Tax Policy Center. And they divided all of the income taxpayers in 2008 for this year into five groups, five quintiles, 20%, bottom 20%, next 20%, the middle quintile.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to it and I said, all right, let's look at the exact middle. They have income this year somewhere in the range of $37,000 to $65,000,
mm-hmm.
according to these figures. That's the exact middle of our income tax people. And how much do they pay in income tax on that income?
Hold on to that thought, John. We'll come back, folks. This is our cliffhanger. We're going to get John to give you that number. And one of the things that I'm going to do, you can count on me, is to blend where small business owners fit into each one of these. And I'm going to be advocating for you in John's plan, because John could be the next president of the United States with these ideas. Stay with us.
Put on your red dress, baby. Lord, we going out tonight.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website's our smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the archives and the articles and the Brain Trust members and the blog. And you can subscribe to my free newsletter, which we send to you every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead. Lots and lots of stuff there, and it's all there for you. That's an almost 11-year-old website, folks. And look for new stuff, because we're getting ready to put some new stuff up pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to being able to tell you about that. And, of course, our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, which has been up for about a year now, a little over a year, is where you can get small business answers now. Just ask your question and we'll give you answers. And if we don't have the answer there for you, you can send it to us and we'll answer that then. And one of the things you can find all over our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, is our good friend, is information from our good friend John Fox, who's with us right now. John, initial O, Fox, F-O-X, 1X, is the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. And we're talking about that. And John, you were talking about the median range of taxpayers, $37,000 and some change, and you were about to tell us how much taxes they pay.
Well, this is the group, the exact middle quintile for this year. They'll have somewhere between $37,000 and $65,000 of income. And the question is, well, what do they pay as a tax on that income? And I've asked a lot of people, a cross-section of people that I know, and do they pay a substantial amount of tax? Do they pay too little, too much? Well, they pay a little over 3% in individual income tax. Only a little over 3%.
Of their income.
Of their income. Now, for all federal taxes, they pay about 15%.
Mm-hmm.
Including
next Social Security?
And that includes Medicare, Social Security,
yeah.
All
mm-hmm.
federal taxes. So then I went to another question. Now, a lot of people believe, and I think it's commonly believed, that the middle class is overtaxed because they pay disproportionately more in taxes than their share of all income. And a lot
mm-hmm.
of people say, you shouldn't pay more in taxes than your share of income. So I wanted to look at that question. And that's interesting. They have a little less than 14% of all income. This is that middle 20%.
Mm-hmm.
They pay less than 5% of all individual income taxes. So they pay less than 10% of all federal taxes. So I went to the next group, $65,000 to $110,000. So now we have the middle income group going all the way from $37,000 up to $110,000. Well, for this fourth group, they also pay less than their share of all income. They have about 19% of all income,
mm-hmm.
and they pay about 13% of all individual income taxes. So that's an interesting fact. I mean, it doesn't tell you what they should pay. But it tells you that the notion that the middle-income people are being overtaxed needs to be subject to this test. Well, what should they pay,
right.
You know, if they're paying less than their share
and
of
who's
all
gonna
income?
And who takes up the slack? That's the next question I'm going to ask.
Well,
and obviously, that's the top group.
And again, I ask a lot of people, well, are the rich, and you know you're reading everywhere, the rich get away with murder. Well, maybe they do, but the top the top quintile, which with over $110,000 of income, they have about 55% of all income. So that's a lot. Mm-hmm. But they pay almost 88% of all individual income taxes, Jim. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that top quintile, the, you know, the richer, not 110,000 isn't rich.
But those are the ones, those, and a lot, and here's the thing, a lot of those people in that 105 and above are people who are small business owners. And folks, you might say, well, you know, hey, they make 105,000. Some people are saying, you know, that's a lot of money. It's like they're rich or something. Well, let me tell you something, folks. They're not rich if they make 105,000. Plus the fact that, don't forget, that income came off of the return for their S corporation. Well, that's not that's not their salary. That's not their W-2. That's not the salary they took. That includes profits that they probably had to leave in the business that they didn't have to pay taxes on.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they're rich either. I did want to go to another group, the top 1%, because that's mm-hmm. interesting.
Right.
They make over $600,000 of income. So they are rich, in my book, at least.
Right.
So they make over
$600,000. I've always said that about you, John.
That's just a day's work, right? So there you have over $600,000. And a lot of my friends will say, well, they're getting away with murder. Well, they pay about 37% of all individual income taxes, 19% of all income. So they pay almost double their share. Now, you may say, and a lot of people may say, well, they have all this income, they ought to do it. But I think it's only fair to say to them that, look, you really are paying a disproportionate share of all income taxes.
But if you hear the politicians talking, they want to continue further cut the middle income tax and raise taxes on the upper income. Now, whether they do it or not is one thing, but that's what they like to talk about as they're campaigning.
That's what I'm writing this article about.
Yep.
I'm not giving the answer, but I'm saying let's get some facts out. And it's really important to get some facts out. Now, there's good reason to talk about the guys in mergers and acquisitions who are paying 15% on their
right.
profits. You know, they're getting away with murder.
What's happening? What he's talking about, folks, is some of the folks who are in the
hedge fund guys.
The hedge fund guys are their income is because of the way they create income, actually turns out to be capital gains and not ordinary income, and so instead of paying as corporations in the 34, 35, 36 range, they're paying 15% because their income is classified as capital gains.
And it never should be. I mean, it's clearly earned on the basis of what other people are making that they're managing.
You want to know something funny? I got a friend who's a lifelong Democrat. I mean, a left, wacko left Democrat.
Yeah.
And he got into that business. Now he's starting to act like a Republican. I'm having a lot of fun with him these days. All right, stand by. Quick break. Tintail. Right back with our good friend John Fox. I told you we'd get smarter when John joined us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. There's the birds bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend John Fox. And I believe, John, the website is johnofox.com.
It is. And my 10 tax questions for the candidates, 10 tax questions the candidates don't want you to ask, all you do is type in the word 10, and follow it by 10taxquestions.com, and it's free, and you can see the questions that I think these candidates should be asked.
And you can get those questions and start asking your own candidates, folks, and I encourage you to do that and start comparing this with what you're hearing, the presidential candidates talk, ask, because you're not probably going to get a chance to ask McCain or Obama these questions. So listen to what they're saying, compare them to John's questions, and I think you'll become a lot more enlightened voter. John, we're talking about who should pay the freight for the United States, and you pointed out to us, and by the way, thank you for giving us a sneak peek at the op-ed piece that you're working on. And folks, well, I'll let you know where it's going to be published. You're telling us that the middle class is really paying a much, which is something we've really always known, a much smaller percentage of the total, even though it's the larger total, a larger group of people, and the very rich folks are paying the most. And I think all you're trying to say is, and you're not here to advocate for rich people. They don't need my help or your help. But what you're trying to say is, we can't really solve the problem of how do we pay for what the government needs without, if we're not honest about where things are at.
Yeah, you know, and something that isn't really a good analogy, but I'll make it anyway, is that when World War II broke out, Jim, before that, only the top 10% paid income taxes at the most. But when war came and we saw that the future of our nation was at stake, suddenly everybody had to pay, who could pay anything. Mm-hmm. And the top rate went to 94%. The bottom rate began at 23%. Single people were taxed on income over $500. In other words, everybody was asked to do something because the problem was really serious. I'm not suggesting we're at World War II, but we're at a stage now where when the serious economists and accounting people, the Government Accountability Office, says that we are on an unsustainable path, we shouldn't have our leading politicians tell us just about how much we're going to cut taxes.
Right.
We need to have somebody say, what are our bills looking into the future, not just short term, but looking into the future, and how are we going to pay them, and be honest about it, because I think there's more pain in the future than we're
And you're trying, and John, what you're trying to do is you're trying to point out that we all need to try to head this pain off and amortize the pain over a longer period of time where it doesn't hurt so much, rather than having it as a shotgun blast in the future somewhere. And I don't disagree with that except for one thing. And that is that you're making I don't think you're doing this, but it could sound like you're making the presumption that if we give the our government more money, that they're going to spend it the right way. And you and I both know that that's not going to happen. John, they've already stolen, in my opinion, there's no other word to use, they've already stolen the money that was in the Social Security Trust Fund.
Well, I'm not making that. I see. I'm not making a case for the level of expenditures or the level of revenue.
But that's the problem, John. That's got to be part of the debate.
I'm saying that you've got to bring them together. In other words, we've got to pay for the things that we're prepared to spend money on. So, for example, if there are huge floods in the Midwest, if you want federal flood insurance, if you want FEMA to go in there and help out, then you've got to say, well, we got to pay for that. In other words, you can't be selective just when I'm hurt and I need it. And so I think we need a more honest discussion of where we're heading, and I think that would be more helpful than just telling people that they're paying too much and they should be paying less.
But, John, with the current leadership in both parties, in Congress and in regardless of which one gets in the White House, we don't have that kind of leadership that you're calling for.
No. We don't.
We had it.
We had it with Roosevelt. We had it with Ronald Reagan. We had real tax reform under Ronald Reagan. It's possible to do this. It's possible to have a more efficient
government. But John, we got to have spending reform alongside of tax reform.
We need entitlement reform, Jim. We can't. Medicare is unsustainable.
Yep.
And we
so
can't
Social
say,
Security.
And we can't keep saying to the seniors, you're being overtaxed, we should reduce your taxes. The seniors are not, seniors in general, are the least poor group of the demographic groups in the country. They can't have a free ride on Medicare or a cheaper ride that they're getting now. So, in other words, seniors have to step up, and they ought to do it for themselves and for future
generations. I'm going to let you tell them that, John. Thanks for being here. Good job today. The book is called If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. That's one book. The other one is 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. The website is johnofox.com. Thanks, John, for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.